podcast where if you want it, we review. I'm your host, DC, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Moss.
How's it going, everyone?
Cool. In this podcast, we'll go over a bunch of things. Basically, movie news, TV shows, and comic book stuff. This episode is titled The Beginning. All right, so this first segment is called Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. Basically, what we're going to do is go around, hold on movie stuff, maybe even some TV stuff, and decide if we like it, don't like it, and talk about why. So, the first thing up is the live-action movie announcements by Disney.
Buddy, here we go.
Yeah, they mentioned Mulan so far, since the whole Maleficent thing went so well, and also the whole Cinderella thing went so well also. So, what's your thoughts about it, Moss?
I think Mulan is going to be doing much better than Cinderella. It doesn't have the magic that Cinderella has, but what it does is have a very positive story that I know, hands down, both men and women that both say that Mulan is their favorite Disney movie, because it's just an inspiring story and one of the few stories that Disney just focuses on girl power and being able to rise and do the strong and the impossible. So I believe it's going to do very, very well. I look forward to seeing it. It's one of those ones that are going to be worth watching.
Cool. For me, I'd probably give it a thumbs in the middle. I'm not really too sure about it. I love the Disney movie. It was an awesome Disney movie. I'm not sure how it's going to portray on the live action front, just because of it being the way how it is and how the dragon was. And I kind of want Eddie Murphy to come back for that part. I don't know.
But how would you feel if Eddie Murphy was doing the voice of the dragon in the live action? Would that change your opinion?
I'd probably be okay with it, but then I'll have to see how they actually mix the dragon into the scene. You know, it could be Dragon Ball Z dragon, or it could be something with like...
No, there's not going to be no Shenron dragon. It's not. It's a small little putt-putt iguana dragon.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Hopefully it looks good. Yeah. Hopefully it's good. So next one up is Winnie the Pooh. That's going to live action also.
Yeah, apparently Christopher Robin's an adult and he comes back to the 100-acre home that he had, that he grew up in, and he reunites with Pooh and company. Why they're going this route, I don't know. The thumb's way down. This isn't good. This is not going to be good.
For me, it's kind of thumbs in the middle again, crazy enough. Just because of the whole adult Christopher kind of scene, it makes you think of Ted 2 or Ted 3.0, you know, just for a live action kind of scene. And
yeah, but we're talking about Winnie the Pooh. We're not talking about adult themed.
Yeah.
The material, like, they're going for Winnie the Pooh. This is going to be so PG. This is going to be, I don't think it's going to be a good idea, but we'll see.
It might be a movie. Who knows? If they introduce the whole, this is Christopher and now his kids are now getting the actual toys, then I'll be like, all right, that kind of worked,
well,
you know?
Well, so far all they said is that Christopher Robin returns as an adult, so, and he reunites with the, so I don't see this going over in that direction. Hopefully. One can hope.
But hopefully.
We'll see. It's too early to say anything. There isn't a script out. There's just talks. So hopefully they do it some justice. All right. What's up next, DC?
All right. Up next is Stephen Amell gets cast as Casey Jones for TMNT 2. What's your thoughts on it?
Oh, man. Thumbs way up. I mean, the only reason he got the role of the Arrow was because he auditioned and then someone submitted his parkour tape to show his stunt work, and the casting directors thought that whoever that was would be a great supplement for the Arrow, and then they found out that it's him. It's the only reason he got the role. It's because he's so versatile, and whoa, this is gonna be good.
Yeah, it should be good. I'll give it a thumbs up also. Just Stephen Amell, he's becoming a great actor. And he's shown that through all the three seasons of Arrow. And it's going to be great to see him beside that lady's name. Can't remember her name off the top of my head. What's that girl's name?
April O'Neil?
Yes, but her
Megan
real name.
Megan Fox?
Yes, Megan Fox. Wow. really totally blanked on a name for a minute. Oh man, but she will be there, and to see them both together, pretty good. And seeing them,
well, what'll be interesting is when they encounter the fellow reporter who in the last movie was hitting on her.
Oh, Vern.
Because yes. Vernon is not going to be happy.
He's not going to.
This should be interesting.
It should bring something good to it. So
yeah, that'll be an interesting dynamic. But I think this will be like the Arrow 2.0. I think he'll be a little more unhinged. Like he'll have more freedom, because in the Arrow he's much more reserved and holds back. But I think he'll hold back less. And to see him pull out a hockey stick and just talk fast and just hit people, I'm already digging it. Already digging it. I see it. I picture it. Casey Jones, let's do this.
It should be awesome.
I'm all for it.
It definitely should be awesome. So next up we have is the Southpaw trailer. What do you think about that, Mas?
Well, Southpaw, for those of you that don't know, is Jake Gyllenhaal. He's in this movie, he's a boxer who's successful, but starting to run into troubles due to his style and his desire to take a lot of risks in the ring and also out of the ring. And his life comes crashing down when he makes bad mistakes. And it looks like it's going to be another cheesy boxing movie, and then it hits you right in the feels. And so much happens so fast, and then he has to literally pick himself back up in order to get his life together and get everything he cares about back. And I think it's going to be really well. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal is amazing, but this is a different side in a familiar story, and I think people are really going to resonate with that.
Awesome. So you give it a thumbs up, I guess?
I give it a thumbs up. I think it's going to be really good. Like, I don't like going out and seeing all these cheesy boxing films, but I actually want to see this one.
For me, I'll probably give it a thumbs down, to be honest. The trailer itself was all right, but it gave too much of the story away when you see it. I'm not going to spoil it for you guys now, but every single plot point you think of, it's in this trailer, and that's horrible. It really is horrible. A trailer is supposed to give you something to make you want to see the movie. Now it's just, I know the movie and what's going to happen every single point. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, the rest needs to play itself out, and it looked good enough for me to consider letting it play out. So let's see where this goes. What's next, DC? What's next on this thumbs up, thumbs down?
Next is the new Wolverine movie that's coming out. Hugh Jackman's basically signed up a third one, so it should be coming out very, very soon.
I haven't even considered it, and I give it two thumbs down. I'm over it. I'm over Hugh Jackman. I'm over his portrayal of Wolverine. It's been well over a decade. Marvel revamps. They should revamp. And it's nothing against Hugh Jackman or his portrayal, but no thanks. Lord. What are your takes on it, Dean?
I'll give it a thumbs down also. Just because Hugh Jackman's been there he's been there for 15 years. The first incarnation of him was in 2000. So he's been there for a long, long, long time. I'm okay with him stepping down and saying, yeah, no more after the new X-Men movie that comes out. But him going for a third one, you know, he's getting old and getting in shape is taking
a toll on him. Said a while ago himself that he's really tired of it because he needs to maintain that training regimen that keeps him so big. And he's up there in age now, so training only has to be much more intensive to maintain. And he's just tired of it. I mean, it's a gruesome, I can imagine it's a gruesome schedule. He looks fantastic, but, you know, one can only handle so much. And I think it's also typecasting in a way, because, I mean, most people wouldn't know that he's done Broadway musicals. Most people wouldn't consider the other movies that he's done because they only see and know him as Wolverine. And yeah, decent Wolverine, but 15 years, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm content.
Yeah, it's very, very true. So next thing we have here is Deadpool is getting officially released as an R-rated movie. For me, I think that's thumbs middle. Not even up or down, just because I really wanted to be PG-13. If it was PG-13, then
really,
yeah,
I think you're the only one. I think you're the only one.
Yeah, for PG-13, it'd been hilarious to have him bleeped out all the curse words and then him actually break the fourth wall and actually talk about, all right, I need to take these signs here and like probably kill somebody with it, like PG-13 kind of style. But it'd been awesome to see that kind of thing. No,
that would be a little too slapsticky. I wholeheartedly see him breaking the fourth wall because that's the only way Deadpool is. If you've ever read any Deadpool comics, he talks to the reader directly. He initiates conversation with the reader. So you're involved throughout the entire comic because you're a part of it, because he brings you along for the story. You're not just witnessing it. So he's going to break that fourth wall either way. The reason that it's good that they didn't go PG is because Deadpool is violent and merciless. And honestly, I don't know if you saw that little trailer that came out with Mario Lopez. And quite frankly, I think you need to get hit with something because no PG. Although for ratings, for everything, for the merchandising and all that, I see it, but he's a cult hero. He's a cult anti-hero, I should say. He's the merc with the mouth. He needs guns, violence, blood, gore, and all sorts of eroticism surrounding him. That's Deadpool.
Of course it is. Of course. Well, hey, it's already on now, so that'd be awesome.
It's already set in stone.
Yes, it is.
Let's see where this goes. I'm all for the ride. Because it's rated R, does that mean you're not going to go watch it?
I'm definitely going to still watch it.
Oh, well, then that thumb isn't that far down, huh?
It's it was thumb's middle, so it wasn't...
That's not even the thing.
Yep, it's halfway there. I cheated. I did.
whatever, man. That's not even a thing. All right, thumb's middle. That exists.
Yes, it does. It
will. So, what's next, DC?
All right, this is the last topic for Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. Basically, Tom Hardy's basically scheduled for 3 more Mad Max films. So, what's your thoughts on that, Moss?
Oh, well, I mean, it's Tom Hardy. Bane can do what Bane wants to do. He can do it after his role and portrayal in Batman and the countless other things he's done. Tom Hardy's established himself, and I think his reinvention of this Mad Max character is going to go a long way. Not to take anything away from Mel Gibson, because you know it's hard to take away when he did so well in that original role. But at the same time, I mean, let's be real. Mel Gibson's not exactly making anything recently, and I don't know what lies ahead for this film. So hopefully he lives up to expectations. That's all I can say. But I think Tom Hardy is going to make this epic.
Yeah, I've heard from stories from WB and a lot of other press junkets that said that this should be a great movie. And they can't wait for a sequel. I personally gave this a thumbs up. Just hearing that they're going to keep on doing more and more, and that George Miller, the original director, came back.
If he signed up for 3 more films, that means he impressed all those people in the studio that have the confidence that he can do this and that it will turn out to be profitable. So let's hope it lives to the hype. I'm excited. That Tom Hardy, seeing him on screen is exciting. He's so captivating. So let's go. 2 thumbs way up.
Yes, definitely, definitely. This leads to our next section.
Before we switch topics, I think you missed something. I don't know how or why, but I thought we were going to talk about Spectre.
Oh, yes, I did miss Spectre. Huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Spectre is the title of the next James Bond film starring Daniel Craig. How and why DC just kind of omitted that, it's, well, I don't know.
It happens.
I don't know. So DC, tell us about this James Bond film, where the controversial Daniel Craig's version has taken us and what's in store in this movie.
I could just go over a little bit of stuff. If you want to see the trailer, you could definitely look on YouTube and see it itself. It's not that long, but it's pretty cool seeing the whole thing. I gave this trailer a thumbs up just because it gave everybody what you wanted. The Aston Martin, the bad guy, and Christoph Waltz. He's only there in silhouette form, but it's kind of cool to see him there. And it just brought the whole Spectre group to the whole scene. So it should be fun. All right, you guys gotta definitely go online and look on the Wikipedia or something like that to actually show the actual synopsis of the movie.
So you won't let them know. All right, guys, you heard it from him. Check it out online. It's all over. It's worth checking out. Again, it's James Bond, Daniel Craig. It's quite a ride.
Awesome. So this next segment is called Quick TV Show Reviews. What it's basically going to go over is just a couple of TV shows that we actually watch and say if we liked it, disliked it, or what we changed about it. First one we're going to talk about is Arrow Season 3, Episode 18, called Public Enemy. So, Moss, what do you like about this episode?
What I liked about this episode is that it should have been, I almost caught Arsenal, but then I took an arrow to the knee. This episode was great for so many reasons. Again, delivering with the high intense drama and things coming full circle. You meet Shadow's sister, the couple reunites with their son, Oliver turns himself in, people come through, the Captain Lance meets Ra's al Ghul. It all keeps happening. You think you've seen enough, and suddenly bam, 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 bam. Roy came through and he stepped up. Last few episodes, it's been more Diggle. This episode, it was definitely Roy who stepped up, and I think this is going to be quite the amazing next episode. I know the producers had said in a review of this episode that after this episode 18, Public Enemy, that the world you knew of the Arrow is never going to be the same again. And let's see where this goes, because I'm on the edge of my seat. So I thought it was great.
Yeah, for me, I liked the whole action concepts of the whole episode. It's just awesome. Seeing the fast-paced but controlled kind of version of it was just amazing to see. It made me excited to be an Arrow fan. It was just awesome. All right, so dislikes. I'll start off with that one. One thing I really disliked was Ra's al Ghul really spawned everything and saying, yep, Oliver Queen is the Arrow. That's my only dislike for it.
I guess your gripe is like, where does it go from here, considering he's just been ousted? And is it because you feel like there's not going to be much future for the show, or?
No, there's going to be a lot of future for the show, just that it's like this next bad guy that said, oh, you're Oliver Queen. So just on last season was the whole Deathstroke and telling Laurel, like, oh, he's Oliver Queen. Bam. So I just did it again. It's like, oh, your bad guy told you your secret. That kind of sucks.
Well, I think what's interesting is I don't see Ra's as being the bad guy of the season so far. I think Captain Lance is quickly turned into the bad guy of this series, because Ra's is just doing it indifferently. He just wants Oliver for his own personal reasons. Captain Lance, it's personal. And he's out for blood. And his relationship with his daughter, practically done. So this is really interesting for me, because I'm looking at it as this season's bad guy is actually Captain Lance.
Bad guy. When I say bad guy, probably not as far as saying bad guy, just because he's hurt because of the whole Sarah situation and how that's hidden from him the whole time. Though it speaks in wonders.
Well, he's been hunting. He refuses to help. He's actually been hunting him down. Now he actually has him in cuffs. He's completely changed the way he interacts with his own daughter, and he cares little. It's much more absolute for him. His resolve is tense. This is not a game for him. For Ra's, this is all a game. This is all just a power play. For Lance, this is it. This is happening.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, because, you know, I wish he had more time with his daughter. And unfortunately, it's going to...
Yeah, but also, I love it, because it's someone that you really can be behind. And you're like, Captain Lance, I don't want you to be that way. But I understand. Like, nobody can really hold him accountable for trying to take the direction he's taking. You know? So I like it. But what would you change?
I'll probably make Captain Lance a little less angry, just because
it was... No, that makes it.
It was just a straight-up hoax that it's just like, oh, he's getting very angry, and now, yeah, tell the whole world, Oliver Queen is the Arrow. Blam. Find him, hunt him down, kill him if you have to. I was like, oh, get a little angry there, buddy. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, but that adds to it. And then, of course, he just showed up. Anyway, if you haven't seen the episode, we're very sorry for spoiling it for you, but you should have seen the episode.
Yeah, it's definitely something you have to go see. And unfortunately, we spoil things here. And honestly, we don't really want to, but I will for this one. Next up is the Flash episode, season two, episode 17. It's called Tricksters.
No, it's still season one still, bro.
It is season one.
I know it feels like we've seen so much, but it's still season one.
Yes, it's been a long, long time. And
it's been a long season, I agree. This has been a very long season. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, though.
Yes, I really do enjoy myself. So what do you liked about this episode?
What I liked about the episode was the person who was portraying the original Trickster. He was so theatrical and dramatic. I think I kind of got caught up in his portrayal of a mass murderer who also is clearly a lunatic, but also so meticulous when it comes to his work. And seeing how they were deceiving people, and I was even caught up thinking this somebody just ran into his lair and scooped up his equipment and was doing everything as him. And then you find out, as things progress, not only that, but you're finding out things so central to the story. It's just mind-blowing. And then it happens in so many different angles. I mean, I think the Flash is doing so well, and it's so impressive because they've learned their growing pains from the Arrow. So it's kind of like they're in a later season only because they're matured and they're already at a different level. So we're being treated so well in seeing the Flash play out. And this last episode I thought was awesome. There's nothing I would change. I liked everything about it. Mm-hmm. It answered so many questions. And it also had me thrown for a loop in so many ways. What do you think?
Awesome. My likes for the show is the same as yours, where they bring back old characters in the Flash show. Just seeing how the father was the Flash before, I said, oh, that's kind of cool. And then seeing that Mark Hamill's the Trickster that came back into it, I was like, that's kind of cool too. Plus the flashbacks itself, just seeing the whole introduction of Eobard Thawne and how he took over Dr. Wells' body, I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. That really is kind of cool. I guess I'll go into dislikes. My first dislike is Mark Hamill's Joker voice. I didn't like it at all. For me, it just reminded me too much of the Joker, and I was like, dude, you're the Joker, so you should change your voice pattern just a slightly, so it doesn't really make you feel like, oh, that's the Joker in the cage right now, instead of saying that's a Trickster.
But he wasn't Joker-esque. He wasn't. He was more...
The mannerisms.
I definitely felt more Trickster than anything. The voice resonated with you, but that's only because you grew up watching the cartoons and you can only relate to the Joker with Mark Hamill. So it's understandable, but still, like, no, I think his portrayal caught me up so much that I didn't even consider it. Because, you know, when he was in his cell and he went on his little monologue, I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just me.
It was
but
cool.
I would change at the end. I didn't like how he revealed himself at the end and to who. Didn't like that.
Yeah, that's part of my dislikes also. I didn't like the whole secret identity reveals. To his father, it was cool.
It's happening too often now.
Yeah,
people are finding way, out way left too and often. Right who he is. And it's only going to be a liability.
It will be, unfortunately.
And also who he did it to. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it helps out now because, you know, now you don't have to hide it from this person, you know, and from that person. So it's cool.
On the plus side, Cisco Ramon is still alive.
Yep, for now he is.
For now.
You never know. They might do it again.
But the angle's taken, the direction it's going in, what's happened... This season finale is going to leave so many people thrown for a loop. I can't wait. I really can't.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah. All right. So next, D, what happened on The Walking Dead season finale? of season 5, episode 16, Conquer.
Yeah, this season finale. Oh man, I'll go with my likes. Actually, no, I'll go with my dislikes first. Dislikes. I dislike the wolves, how they came out. It just looked weird. They felt like a bunch of amateurs, but at the same time, they caught a lot of walkers. So I was like, all right, seem kind of organized, but at the same time, you seem kind of whacking out there. This is too much. And the next one is Glenn's fight scene. That scene was so weak. At first, it started off okay with him being the whole Batman scenario, you know, getting shot and disappearing for a good while and then coming back. But then, you know, him and the walkers, and he kind of got out. So I was like, oh, how did that happen? It was weird. How about you? What you disliked about it?
Well, I've been more of a comic book enthusiast, mm-hmm. so, with Walking Dead, and honestly, the Walking Dead comics leave you so emotionally exhausted that I barely enjoy the show. And yeah, Glenn's portrayal, I like him more on the TV show, but yeah, that was weak. But if there's anything, they really know how to hit people in the feels. And I don't know anyone that wasn't pleased with the ending.
Yeah, it's so pretty cool. Which leads me to my likes. My likes for the episode is Jedi Morgan. He was just a pro with that bow stick. He took down all the wolves. They had no chance against him. It was like Donatello is in the Walking Dead series. Like, oh, look at him. Knock that person down, then that person, then that person. Mm. He's so skilled with that bow staff. It's crazy. Then Rick being gangster. The last five minutes.
Finally. I mean, in the comics, for those of you who don't follow, Rick goes off the deep end very early, and he never returns. He just gets more and more hardened. And the difference between that and the Rick Grimes you see on TV is really, really polar. But now, they're bringing Rick back to us, so let's hope this is what continues, and it's just about time, really. It was about time.
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm happy about this. Really, I'm happy. Which leads us into our next segment, which is called "What Happened This Week in History," basically entertainment-wise. In this segment, we're gonna basically go over a couple things that happened this week in movie history. This is actually our final segment for the day. So first up is Fast and Furious. This actually came out 6 years ago today. It's kind of cool. What do you think about it?
2009, Fast and the Furious 4, mm-hmm. where everyone remembers this is the infamous movie where Letty dies.
Yeah.
And fast forward, look where we are now.
It's crazy. It really is crazy. Number 7 is today. Huh. That's crazy too. Also happened this week is Source Code that happened on actually April 1st. 4 years ago.
Jake Gyllenhaal, once again.
Yeah, pretty cool. We even talked about him early in the show. Our next one is Sin City. It came out 10 years ago on April 1st. Then Insidious.
Sin City just swept up and caught everybody off guard. And it was just provocative. It was sexy. It was exciting. It was different. It was a really well-made comic book made into movie. And I think it resonated with the crowd and helped open the door for more comic book movies of its like. And also a follow-up that happened recently. Not as successful, but definitely put things on the map. And it was a good story.
Yeah, it was definitely a good story. Hopefully there's more down the pipeline, and hopefully they're good.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Another thing is Insidious came out 5 years ago on April 1st also again. That's kind of cool. I didn't actually see it, but I've heard it's a good movie.
I've seen it, and I personally am not a fan of scary movies. I don't really get much excitement from seeing scary movies, but I figured it out in the first few minutes. I figured out what was going on, so that was really disappointing. And then the evil Spawn monster was not scary. It was like, it was so anti-scary. It was disappointing. It could have been done better.
Okay, well, hey. Hopefully the next one's better. Hopefully.
No, I saw the next one too. Figured it out in minutes. It was there and done quick. It's all good though. I mean, there's only so much you can do in certain aspects, but it definitely touched on more levels. It was it was a better follow. It was a good sequel. I'll give it that. It was a good sequel. You still figure it out fast.
Oh, okay. Well, next up is Clash of the Titans, which happened on April 2nd, 5 years ago.
Oh, unfortunately, when they released the Kraken, they needed to keep that thing locked up.
I actually watched this, and I wasn't happy at all. I paid $15 for a ticket.
It also was one of the first movies that they started messing around with 3D technology, and it failed miserably. It just failed miserably.
It did. For me. It did. It hurt my eyes a lot. I didn't like it at all. I actually did walk out.
I mean, it was, anyway. Fail. Epic fail.
And the last one for This Week in History, The Matrix actually came out 16 years ago on the 31st of March. That's kind of cool.
Well, this one movie makes up for all of the lackluster other things we've talked about, because all you have to say is The Matrix.
Yeah,
it Wachowski really was. Brothers. Done. Yeah. Well, the Wachowskis now.
Yeah, but
so much has happened in 16 years, including a transgender operation. It's amazing where the series has gone. And also, I heard some rumors of them revamping it and making a new Matrix.
Yeah, they might make it. I'm not sure. The last couple of Matrix movies didn't do so well.
True, but remember what they said, which is a central part of the story, that one generation dies off and then another rises up and tries again later on, and history repeats itself. So they opened that door to come back later on and do it all over again.
There's a possibility, yes. Possibility, definitely. Definitely. It might work out. Well, cool. That's the end of our show. You can find us on social media from bringonreviews.com or email bringonreviews@gmail.com or on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, YouTube at bringonreviews.com and on Twitter, bringonreviews. You can use hashtag BOTR podcast for any questions you want to ask us. It'd be great for us to hear from you guys and possibly even say a couple of them on the air. I'd like to thank Moss for being here. Where can they find you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at @defiant_Moss. Cool. And as always, thank you for having me. And before we go, I'd like to pose one question, which is a segment that we have that we aptly call What Would Batman Do? So what we'd like to do is pose a question to you guys, and then we'd like you to respond with the hashtag BOTRWWBD. You know it's a little long, so I'll say it again. Hashtag BOTRWWBD. Bring on the reviews, What Would Batman Do?
All right, cool. So it's a question.
With that said, if you were Batman, what would you do in this scenario? Your significant other's parents decide to pop up randomly at your place. What would Batman do?
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to hear the results of that hashtag. And my name's DC. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter at DwightAntC. That's some DWIGHTANTC. And we'll catch you readers next time.